Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ooh, breaking
Welcome
news.
To hour number 3, our third and final live right here on the first day of this new month. It is now July, and there is so much to get to here in this third and final hour on a Tuesday. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. NBA free agency continues after its opening night. Yesterday, literally right on cue, our producer extraordinaire Joe Friezo just sent me a Sham Sharania tweet. Yep. It's just about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander agreeing to a 4-year, $285 million Supermax contract. $71.25 million per year. The richest annual salary for a player in NBA history. Maybe I shouldn't have just brushed that off. $71.25 million per year? That's ridiculous.
I mean, it's like, and also you're talking about OKC. Is this something like OKC in 2 years has to absolutely, is going bankrupt? Like, we used to get the contracts back in the day where I remember when the rookies used to come in, like the late 1990s, Ben. Like, let's just say Glenn Big Dog Robinson was the number one overall pick. And I remember, I think it was Herb Cole who used to own the Brooks, is like, I would rather him pay me this and I'll give him the franchise. Like, we're starting to get to that point. Like, $71 million a year. Here, just buy a piece of the franchise. Like, 4 years, 285. 4 years. 285 completely guaranteed. The guy's in his mid-20s, Ben. By the time he's probably still an MVP candidate at the end of his 20s, what is his next contract look at that point? Is he a billion-dollar athlete in the NBA?
I mean, probably not quite a billion, but I don't think it's all that far off to question $71.25 million. Like, if you have an athletic son, I wouldn't ever put him in football pads. I'd make him play baseball or basketball and try to get this money as you can. So not exactly a free agency signing there for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. A super, super max contract. 4-year, $285 million to remain in Oklahoma City for the foreseeable future at a very hefty price tag. They also paid Jalen Williams earlier in the week as well after winning the first NBA championship in 17 years as a franchise in Oklahoma City. DRS elsewhere in this third hour, we'll break down a full Tuesday slate in Major League Baseball from your brilliant baseball mind in a big week in the WNBA. We've got all-star captains. We've got all-star starters. And tonight, it's the Commissioner's Cup title in Minneapolis. The Lynx, the reigning Commissioner Cup's winners against the Indiana Fever. Will Caitlin Clark be playing? Nafisa Collier continues her MVP season. Miles Ehrlich will join us later on in this third and final hour to break that all down.
Yeah, how can you have the Cup Final and only have the 9th best guard in the WNBA playing in that Cup Final? It doesn't sound like a lot of excitement here on the part of the WNBA, but here we are at this point. Yeah. Which is more important, the Commissioner's Cup in the WNBA or the Commissioner's Cup in the NBA? It's good. I don't know. Maybe the WNBA is a bigger deal at this point.
I don't think either, to be completely frank with you. The Commissioner's Cup has been doing it for a little bit longer, since 2021. So maybe as we have, you know, improved in the WNBA, it's been part of our nomenclature more as of late. The NBA Cup, the Commissioner's Cup, some in-season competition for that additional wrinkle. Also a big trade yesterday in the W. Nelissa Smith traded from the Dallas Wings to the Las Vegas Aces. The Aces are two-time reigning WNBA champs entering last year, knocked off by the reigning champs in the Liberty in round number two. Now just 8-8. This season. So, where is Las Vegas? Again, a question for Miles Ehrlich a little bit later on. All right, the question to all of you, as free agency began last night around the association, wasn't like a decade ago or even five seasons ago that it really came with all the thrills. Where would LeBron James go? Where would Kevin Durant go? Would Blake Griffin be locked inside his house? That was what we used to have when free agency began. Superstars that would change the future landscape of the NBA making a decision as soon as free agency got underway. Yesterday, even in the notable guys that we showed you in our opening hour, there might be like one starter that signed a new deal with a new team. So has free agency in the NBA lost some of its luster? What does it mean? That was the question for all of you in Fade the Public. At SportsGrid on Twitter, which league has the best free agency period of our four major men's professional sports leagues, MLB, NBA, NFL, or NHL, that is also happening as we speak with some trades and signings and extensions happening before our very eyes. DRS, maybe 10 years ago you asked this question. It's probably closer in terms of voting. Now, and also based on our Sports Grid public that weighs in on these polls, that often not the biggest backer of the NBA, the NFL wins the day by a large, large margin. 51% of the vote saying the NFL as a league now has the best free agency period.
Yeah, I got a bone to pick here with the poll here, and it's not because of the way the votes technically are tallied up here, because the NFL is always going to be king, no matter what they do. Best playoffs, best regular season, best players, the NFL is always going to win because they're king. 51% I agree with. The NBA typically is a fun, you know, off-season, as opposed to just free agency. You can lump that into one because we didn't see the big free agent names per se, but in the past, you're right, we've had those monster, you know, where am I going at this point, and big superstars changing hands right away. The NHL, it's the NHL. Niche sport for most here, you know, fourth in the grand scheme of things of the major contributors here in the sports landscape for professional sports in America, and I don't mind that. But Major League Baseball, 9.9%, Ben, that should have been 0%. That should have been negative percent. I don't know who voted for Major League Baseball. The absolute single worst free agency by far, and it's not even close, where the best players in Major League Baseball will be free agents November 1st and not signed till March. What type of stupid league is that about? Don't you remember what, 8-9 years ago was Manny Machado and it was Bryce Harper, the two biggest stars in the game up for grabs, and Bryce Harper signed like late March? Like, what are we doing here? You want to have a great free agency period in baseball, which it can be so much fun? Have that explosion the minute the season ends where big names are off the board right away. But the Scott Boras's go, we'll just let the pressure bust the pipes out here. We'll sit all of these players the entire season and not get the fan bases excited for those players until we're ready to start spring training or even into spring training. Baseball should get a net zero vote. I'm ashamed of the 10% that voted for Major League Baseball. The worst sport by far for free agency.
I agree with you, DRS. The hot stove has really been on a simmer the last few years in those winter months when it should be a very exciting time. Even some of the biggest names that you would consider a star, unlike the guys we saw sign last night around the NBA, just wait and wait and wait because all the contracts controlled by one guy. Again, if we can go back to the notable NBA free agency signings that we saw last night, just to drive home this point, not to bag on the association, consistent and significant contributors for their new homes. Maybe Nikhil Alexander-Walker, the only starter on this list of what we consider the biggest day one deals in free agency. Now, Dorian Finney-Smith will play a role. Caris LeVert, a great reserve for Detroit, not knocking what they can add in terms of contributions to their new franchises, just not exactly those mega stars or even all-stars. The NFL is king, has found a way to be king in each and every month of the calendar. That's just kind of the way it goes. The first day of July, let's break down a full Tuesday slate in baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The first day of July, some might call it the dog days of summer, despite us hyping up everything around football here in this month. But DRS, on this first day of July, what a week we have and what a slate we have in Major League Baseball. A very full slate on this Tuesday with some great aces on the bump in arms all around MLB. One of the best teams in the month of June. That was the Milwaukee Brewers. They take that strong June record and now only trailing the Cubs by just a few games in the NL Central. Today to Citi Field, where the end of June for the New York Mets was dismal. The Mets were 45-24 on June 12th, the best record in Major League Baseball. From that point on to end out the month, 3-13. Can they find their way back to the win column today as an ever so slight home favorite against the Brew Crew? Total is 8.5. It's a -124 price now on the money line. How does this series begin on a Tuesday now in July? Will the calendar flipping be a good sign for New York?
Yeah, hopefully it is. Just a fresh beginning and a fresh start here in the month of July because they need some wins here. The Philadelphia Phillies continue to play good baseball here outside of that outlandish, terrible streak at the plate. They picked up a couple wins, now sit two games above the New York Mets in the win column there for first place. If we are looking at Clay Holmes on the mound, the one thing, he's had a decent season overall. He comes in, let's just say the last 45 days in Major League Baseball, 103 xFIP minus number, which is average, a 4.34, excuse me, a 2.75 ERA, which is really good. But that xFIP number, Ben, is a little bit high. The xFIP minus number, slightly above average at a 112 here. Here's the issue. Clay Holmes has really been struggling with left-handed batters. So the first thing I look at, which left-handed batter do I always like in that lineup tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers? It's Christian Yelich. A 254 ISO power number, a 443 weighted on base percentage over his last 65 at-bats over the past month against right-handed pitchers, which Clay Holmes is. And also, if you go down that lineup there, Isaac Collins, who is a switch hitter, who will bat from the left-hand side tonight. His last 59 at-bats, Ben, as a weighted on base percentage of 382 against right-handed pitchers. The one thing I have to say is every day, typically, that middle of that order always looks really, really good for the New York Mets. Freddie Peralta on the mound, his last 45 days, a 101 xFIP minus. He's been averaging ERA decent at 3.19, that xFIP number of 410. Brandon Nimmo, Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, all with really good numbers against right-handed pitchers. But you take a look at Freddie Peralta's last 113 batters faced. He's got a 176 ISO against, which is slightly elevated, but only a 290 weighted on base percentage and a decent K rate. I'm sorry. Like right now, you just can't say sooner than later the Mets are going to bust out. The Brewers playing good baseball. I take them at home again tonight. But more than importantly, my favorite play, probably Christian Yelich RBI once again tonight.
The Rays lost last night at home against the A's to end out June 17-10. The Brewers were 16-9 in the month of June, matching Tampa for that second-best record behind the Houston Astros. But in fact, DRS, it dates back even further than that for the Brew Crew. Three games sub 500, 25-28 on May 24th. They've won 22 of 31 from that point. And again, it is why Milwaukee enters this month of July just two games back of the Chicago Cubs for that top spot in the National League Central. Speaking of the top spot in the National League East, the Mets trail the Phillies by two games. The Phillies behind another dominant outing by Zach Wheeler last night. Eight innings of shutout baseball, K-ing 10. They got that victory to start off their series, planking the San Diego Padres. Today, it's one of Donnie's favorites, pitching Nick Pivetta on the bump in Philadelphia, but Christopher Sanchez on the other side for the Fightins. Minus 162, that home money line price in favor of Philly. In Philly, total is 8.5. Will the Phillies make it two straight against San Diego here to start off this midweek set?
Yes, they will. They're going to win this game again. Like them yesterday, run line -1.5. Just got burned a little bit on that team total over 4.5. They scored four runs, had the three-run home run taken away, but they had the four runs by the fifth inning. So again, sixth, seventh, and eighth innings, no runs there, but a victory still for the Philadelphia Phillies. Let's understand something again. The Phillies, every single day, they are better than your rotation. And that includes Christopher Sanchez, who will be on the mound today. His last 45 days been in Major League Baseball. How about an xFIP minus number of 71? It's stellar. That's second best on the card today. An ERA over the past 45 days, 2.68. An xFIP of 2.83, nothing short of spectacular. And let's look at the optics here of how he got to those numbers. His last 133 batters that he's faced, how about a walk percentage of only 4.5%? How about an ISO power number of 0.64, a weighted on base percentage of 2.33, and a K rate of 25%? He's been spectacular this entire season. Luis Ríos, Manny Machado, Jackson Merrill, plus batters with weighted on base percentage against left-handed pitching. The rest of that lineup is terrible. Now flip it over to the Phillies, because we do like what Pivetta has done. And on the card today, Ben, over the past 45 days, he does come in seventh on the card, an 83 xFIP minus, a 3.66 ERA to go with a 3.33 xFIP number. You look at the lineup today, it's better for the Phillies than it is for the Padres. So understand this. Better lineup for the Phillies, better pitcher on the mound. Even though Pivetta is a good one, Sanchez is better. You see that 8.5 total? It's 81 degrees with the wind blowing out, and maybe the San Diego bats wake up. But you saw what you saw last night. 4-0 final. I'm not saying 4-0 tonight, but I don't think we get nine runs. So I do think the Phillies win. It's a higher price, but I don't think we get the nine runs regardless if the Phillies win or not. I'm taking the under in Philadelphia.
I like that look, DRS. 8.5 is the total. Yesterday out in Arizona, a divisional duel began between the Giants and the D-backs. Ryan Nelson, the starter for the Snakes, actually got the better of the Giants starter Logan Webb, and San Francisco was a road favorite in the opener. Arizona wins 4-2. Tonight out in the desert between the D-backs and the Giants, Zach Gallen on the mound for Arizona. And this time the Diamondbacks are a home favorite at minus 134, total 9.5. What's the play in this desert duel?
Yeah, Birdsong and Gallen, 18-19 on the card today with the xFIP minuses, each of 117 and 113 respectively. Zach Gallen, take a look at his numbers the past 30 days. I mean, ISO power number to both lefties and righties high. Weighted on base percentage high here. Low K rate. Very un-Zach Gallen-like. He hasn't really performed all that well. But let's always focus there on that Arizona lineup, which we love. A lot of guys in that lineup, Swiss Army knives, can hit from the left side or the right side. Birdsong really struggles with left-handed batters. Perdomo, Marte, Smith, Naylor. You take a look at those first four guys in the lineup, all lefties. They should do some damage. Why not a total out in the desert tonight? I just told you in Philadelphia, I don't like runs. I think we might be getting runs out there in Arizona tonight, Ben.
Ooh, okay. Only six yesterday. Maybe some more offense out in Phoenix tonight. We continue our full breakdown next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's a holiday for our friends north of the border. If it's our Independence Day on Friday, today is Canada Day, July 1st, 2025, up in Toronto, when really all of Canada, as the Blue Jays are playing host with some day baseball, DRS, 3:06 p.m. Eastern time to start today in our first of 15 games on this Tuesday for Toronto hosting the New York Yankees. Max Fried gets the start for the Pinstripes, who are a road favorite tonight in, or this afternoon in Toronto. No love for Canada Day that celebrates the union of the Canadian provinces back in 1867 and its sovereignty as a true nation under the British Empire. The Dominion of Canada, as it was known back in 1867. Will those darn Yankees play spoiler to the Blue Jays on Canada Day?
Yeah, look, I mean, they kind of can do two things right this week. They can celebrate today, Ben, and on the 4th of July if they play their cards, right? That's my drift here at this point. So let's get to the handicap here on the Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays winning all over the place. And by the way, you do have an afternoon game. You can enjoy that. You know what you don't enjoy? Max Fried's on the mound. The man has been absolutely filthy, outstanding since signing as a free agent from the Atlanta Braves here. Take a look at his last 45 days. An ERA of 2.81, an xFIP number of 63, an xFIP minus of 63, and the xFIP 2.62 here. You look at Gausman on the mound. He's been okay, Ben. You take a look at the ERA, 4.44. Yeah. Don't love that all that much over the past 45 days. A 93 xFIP minus, which isn't bad, and a 380 xFIP number. The Yankees lineup here, Ben Rice, Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, Jazz Chisholm, Anthony Volpe over the past month, very good ISO power numbers. It's hard. Like, that's a heavy number for a road teamer in the Yankees that aren't playing that great of baseball as of late, which means the offense needs to start waking up just a little bit more. But for my money in this game, I'm not betting against Max Fried. He has been tremendous. I give that lean to the New York Yankees today in a nice weather. Should be open today. 82 degrees with a light wind blowing out the right field. That should help those Yankee bats as well. Give me the Yanks today to take care of business against the Jays.
Max Fried this year, DRS, in his first year up in the Bronx, of course, today in Toronto, is 10-2. Mm-hmm. That ties Tarek Skubal for the most wins in the bigs with a 1.92 ERA, second best ERA in baseball, only behind Houston's Hunter Brown. It was the Blue Jays, though, edging out the Yankees yesterday. Three RBIs from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Toronto winning the opener of this divisional duel this week, 5-4 yesterday on a Monday. Mike, the festivities continue for Toronto on this Tuesday. Canada Day, not exactly like the easiest phrasing. Say Canada Day 10 times fast. Canada Day, Canada Day, Canada Day. It just kind of rolls all in
one. They shoot fireworks off? Exciting... What do they do? Barbecue?
I think so.
What do they do out there? Oh, wow. Okay.
Big week.
Just like the 4th of July.
I'd say up there, though, in the great white North. DRS, two teams that have struggled this year face off once again tonight in Arlington. And neither team has been great. The Rangers have been putrid offensively. And yet, you said that based on the pitching matchup yesterday in the opener this week between the Orioles and the Rangers, might we see some runs? We did. Baltimore beating Texas 10-6 in extra innings, despite Adolis Garcia hitting a tying three-run home run in the home half of the 10th and certainly pimped that shot. Today, game number two this week between Texas and Baltimore. And as we look at the starting pitching matchup, Jacob DeGrom is out there for the Rangers. Third best ERA in baseball for the veteran in DeGrom, a 2.08 number. His last outing, he took a no-hit bid into the eighth inning. Will we continue to see stellar pitching on the bump today for DeGrom in Texas?
Yeah, what year is this right now? Is he pitching back for the Mets? Yeah. Is he the best pitcher in Major League Baseball? That's what you're getting right now. His last 116 batters, Ben, that he's faced over the past 30 days, a microscopic .009 ISO against and a 176 weighted on base percentage. He's giving up nothing here and a K rate of 28%. Now, the Baltimore Orioles over the past month have actually hit right-handed pitching extremely well. A lot of high ISOs and weighted on base percentages there. But as you know, pitching usually be a really good pitching, really usually beats hot bats at that point. And the other side, Brandon Young's on the mound. Only has 18 at-bats against him over the past 30 days, but on the season, only 60 in totality. A 240 ISO against and a weighted on base percentage of 419 and a 15% walk rate here and a K rate under 20%. Sounds to me like a run line first five innings here that you need to take on Jacob DeGrom. Texas should be up at the end of five. Forget about the bullpens.
8.5 the total yesterday. You probably do feel bad if you did bet the under, as it was 3-3 at the end of regulation.
That's brutal.
We saw 10 of those 16 runs scored in extras. Plenty more around this full Tuesday slate in the bigs. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last night out in the Pacific Northwest, Big Dumper went deep for the first time in seven games. Cal Raleigh hitting his MLB best 33rd home run of the season. And Seattle beat Kansas City 6-2. Tonight in the Northwest, might Big Dumper start to go on a streak? Minus 136, the price in favor of Seattle against Michael Lorenzen and the Royals once again on this Tuesday evening. 8.5 DRS is that total. Last night, nearly 80 degrees by the time we reached first pitch out in Seattle. Then at the end of June, that's warm for a night game there for the M's. What are we seeing on this Tuesday night out in the Northwest?
Yeah, about 77 at first pitch tonight, so still nice. But the wind tonight blowing in at 8 miles per hour to right field. But again, it's a stadium. It's really not that big of an impact whatsoever. You take a look at Michael Lorenzen, one of my favorite pitchers to fade here. He comes in on the card over the last 45 days for me. Ben, 25th out of 27 pitchers today. A 119 xFIP minus a 6.62 ERA and a 4.85 xFIP number. So yes, right in the middle of that lineup here is a right-handed pitcher here for Lorenzen will be Cal Raleigh. Switch hitter will be batting lefty. How has Michael Lorenzen done against lefties in the past 30 days? How about a 315 ISO and a 382 weighted on base percentage and a low K rate? Hello, Cal Raleigh. 329 ISO, 404 weighted on base percentage, his last 83 at-bats against right-handed pitching. And the lineup doesn't look great here, per se, for the Mariners, but Cal Raleigh, he looks fantastic. Now, Emerson Hancock on the opposite side, not a great pitcher either, Ben. His last 45 days, a 117 xFIP minus, which is above average. Bobby Witt, great numbers against right-handed pitching. Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez. But if we are looking at the matchups here, Hancock over the past 30 days, Ben, to right-handed batters, he's been really good. To left-handed batters, leaky to say the least. A 338 ISO against and a weighted on base percentage of 383, a low K rate and a high walk rate. That puts the Pasquatch right there in the crosshairs tonight with a 206 ISO and a 440 weighted on base percentage with only a 6% K rate over his 72 at-bats against right-handed pitching. So how about this? Two lefties in the lineup tonight. Cal Raleigh one side, Vinny P on the other side. One of those guys is at least getting an RBI, and you're going to take down that plus money up there in the Pacific Northwest tonight.
We love Big Dumper, plus 220 to hit yet another dinger on this Tuesday to start off July, but we still love Vinny Pasquantino. Vinny P, the Pasquatch, has been our guy here on TEL now each of the previous two MLB seasons. Plus 220 the price, by the way, on Raleigh to hit his 34th home run of the season, 33 by the end of July. One of five players, DRS, now in MLB history to have at least 33 homers by the end of June. How about that for Raleigh? Joining this company, Sammy Sosa, Ken Griffey Jr., who each had 33, by the way, by the end of June. Barry Bonds, who had 39, and Mark McGwire, who had 37, as the five players ever to have at least 33 home runs by the start of the month of July. Skins Day 36 in MLB history. Tonight inside PNC Park for the Pittsburgh Pirates, who played at seven yesterday, DRS, against the Cardinals. Yep. The Pirates scored at least seven runs in their final four games of June. That was in their Final Four. In their first 23 games of June, they scored at least 7 runs only 3 times. The Pirates with some power. They've won 4 straight. Skeens on the bump, trying to bounce back from arguably the worst performance of his short but successful MLB career. Last week, he gave up 4 earned in an inning for the first time in his career. Pittsburgh, a hefty home favorite today against St. Louis, minus 168. Now that updated money line price, total 7.5. How do you break down the matchup between the Buccos and the Redbirds?
Yeah, game I liked yesterday, too, to go over the total, Ben. It was only 8.5. I told you before the game, Pittsburgh would play 7. Say, oh, I just need 2 runs out of St. Louis. That's fine. Yeah, St. Louis didn't even score yesterday. They were horrific at the plate. Yeah. And you know what they get today? It's Paul Skeens on the mound. And also, Paul Skeens fresh off a start where he wasn't that good. So looking for a bounce back. But if you take a look at Skeens, last 45 days, impeccable, man. Even with those 4, I think, earned runs he gave up over that last start here, a 1.58 ERA, which is spectacular. And you take a look at some of those analytical numbers, a 74 xFIP minus number, he'll fit right in. Good hitting conditions, though, by the way, in Pittsburgh today out at PNC. 77-degree temperatures, light wind blowing out to left field, which should help. Pallante on the mound, also not a bad pitcher. His last 45 days, an 89 xFIP minus number. So if I look at last night, and the Pittsburgh bats are hot, sometimes you just want to ride them. They do win this baseball game, but it is a heavy favorite. Yeah. But I also look and say, I don't know if we're going to get a total because I think Skeens will hold it down against that lineup for the Cardinals and maybe coming back down to earth for the Pirates is scoring 4 runs in this game. That's 7.5. I'm not sure we get to 8 runs, but you know what? I probably would even look towards a first 5-inning run line. Pittsburgh's staying hot on offense. They can scrape out 2 or 3 runs, possibly against Pallante. I just think Skeens has a chance for a really good bounce-back performance here and taking it the distance, meaning 7 innings pitched, maybe 9 or 10 strikeouts, and 2 to 3 runs maximum, which would mean maybe a 3-1, 2-1 victory here at the end of 5 innings. I like the Pittsburgh Pirates' first 5 innings run line in this game for the win.
Love that look, DRS. You're probably going to have to pay a little bit more in chalk in terms of that first 5-inning run line, or not maybe chalk, because run line is what we're going with there, laying the half of run. Money line, certainly, with Paul Skeens on the bump. Pittsburgh playing better, offense heating up, but still 36-50, the record for the Buccos this year, third worst around the National League. The Cubbies are in that top spot, DRS, in the National League Central, but once a large divisional lead, dwindling down to just 2 games as we enter July in front of Milwaukee. The Cubs were mediocre in June, literally mediocre, even 500, 13-13 now on the first day of July. The Guardians were awful, 32-26 after a win on June 1st. Maybe, just maybe, providing a little bit of a test or a challenge to the Tigers atop the American League Central. DRS from that point, 8-16 to end out the month of June. Today, the Guardians head to the friendly confines to take on the Cubbies, where Matthew Boyd and the Cubs, hefty favorites, minus 180. Total is 8. What's the play today in Wrigley?
Yeah, right around 80-degree temperatures. Now, the wind is blowing in, but when we say blowing in, 3 to 4 miles per hour, not really going to have an impact on this game. Gavin Williams is an interesting one to sort of fade because on the card over the past 45 days, if you just look today, 27 total pitchers, Ben, he's 24th on the card with an xFIP of 4.81, but his ERA is 3.03. xFIP minus is higher. So you say sooner than later, he should get hit. Why does he survive? Well, he's not a great strikeout pitcher and does walk too many guys, which means ball is in play and you're offering free passes, never a good thing. But how does he escape those things? He's a ground ball pitcher. 57% of the 117 at bats he faced, Ben, all were ground balls. So if you're not hitting the ball in the air at Wrigley, good things tend to happen for you and your defense, which includes double plays. But you also are looking at that Cubs lineup that has done very well against right-handed pitching, specifically with the first 5 guys in the lineup. Hap, Tucker, Suzuki, and Armstrong. Great ISOs, great weighted on base percentages here, and also including Michael Bush with a 379 ISO over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching. Boyd has been a solid pitcher this year, not spectacular, but we just look at that Guardians lineup and say, boy, that's just not the lineup that we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season. The trust level for me, much, much more on the Cubs. So instead of saying, I want to lay like the minus 175 or higher, whatever it might be at game time here, a couple of RBI props to start that lineup make a lot of sense here. If you're just trying to zero in at the best of the number, if I just go Hap and also Tucker, 1 and 2 in that lineup with the high ISOs and weighted on base percentages, chance for a home run, chance for an RBI, very high from those 2 guys. Like Pete Crow Armstrong, like Bush, but if I'm just picking 2, I'm going 1-2. Give me as many at-bats as I possibly can get. One of those guys will get an RBI tonight.
Cleveland dropped their final four games in June. The Tigers now have an 11.5 game lead atop the American League Central and are matching the LA Dodgers for the best record in baseball at 53-32. The Dodgers red hot to end out June. They won 12 of their last 15. And who do they get to start off July? The White Sox and probably some more wins. Greater than a $3 price tonight in favor of LA at Chavez Ravine. DRS, is there really much to say about this one?
No, there's not. Just take some left-handed batters in that lineup for the Dodgers. They'll come through. Otani's got great numbers against right-handed pitching. So does Max Muncy. And the one thing Shane Smith can't do over the past 30 days is get left-handed batters out. Freddie Freeman, you might be able to take a flyer. Not good numbers, but bats third in the lineup, man. There's going to be ducks on the pond to knock in. So left-handed batters for me on the Dodgers. Hammer time.
7.5 game lead for LA in the NL West. Miles Ehrlich joins us up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The final day of June was a big one around the WNBA as the season rolls on. And the first day of July will feature a championship contest. It's the final of the Commissioner's Cup tonight in Minneapolis. So for all of that, we welcome on Miles Ehrlich joining us here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Good, doing great work covering the WNBA. Four Windsider Miles is here to break it all down around the WNBA as the summer rolls on. Miles, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Good to talk to you, Ben. Good to talk to you, Donnie. Excited to talk W because it's been a busy couple of days, weeks, months. Mm-hmm. So excited to get into it.
Certainly a busy final day of June, Miles, for the WNBA that continues to capitalize on the momentum of this outstanding growing product. More expansion teams announced yesterday. Cleveland, Philadelphia, and Detroit all joining the WNBA by at least 2030 with the previously announced expansion squads in Portland and Toronto. By the time we get to a new decade, that will bring the WNBA from 13 teams currently in 12 a season ago already to 18 organizations. So, Miles Ehrlich, as we look at expansion around the W, what does it mean for the league as a whole to keep adding teams and franchises, it seems, each and every year?
So for the league as a whole, this is a great thing. Think about in 2019, Joe and Clara Wusai bought the Liberty for somewhere between $10 and $14 million. And now we're seeing these $250 million posting fees for new organizations. The Liberty were recently valued at $450 million. And the Golden State Valkyries, who just joined the league last year, had a valuation of $500 million. So the prices are going up and up and up. The question that I have is this too much too fast in terms of expansion when there are still so many things that the league can do better in terms of we need rosters expanded? We're seeing right now constantly players are coming in on hardship contracts because they are dipping below 9 players on an active roster. We need to make sure that these veterans are taken care of. So that's a big thing with the next CBA with extending the cap, because right now it's a hard cap that makes it really difficult. There's a lot of stuff that needs to happen for this league to keep up with this momentum, because like you said, it's here and everybody wants in on it. And then as far as the cities themselves, in a vacuum, I love these three cities, Detroit, Cleveland, and Philadelphia. But then you look at just kind of the map, and I wonder if we couldn't have had a team in the South where there's a huge lack. I think there's Atlanta there, but not much else in the Southeast. And then at West, we're getting a couple of teams with the Valkyries this year, Portland next year. But it seems like there's a little bit of an imbalance there. I would like to see that representation kind of spread around a little bit more if the league tries to go to 20 or 22 eventually.
Yeah, capitalizing on the success, too. Obviously, with the Caitlin Clark, you have Paige Becker's coming in. You know, Juju Watkins going to come in as well. It's rightful that it is expanding. And also, let me ask you this question, because new teams coming in, right? 28, 29, and 30. Did they stagger that on purpose? Because you can't have, like, three teams or four teams come in at once and sort of have the NBA, the WNBA draft and all that. Is that why they stagger this out, just to make sure everybody gets a clean landing in each one of those seasons?
So that is probably part of it. I would also say that we don't really know a lot behind the scenes about what goes into securing facilities and building new ones. So that can also play in. But man, as someone who has to cover this on a day-to-day, I don't look forward to expansion drafts every single year. Next year is going to be super weird. Next year is going to be weird because everyone is a free agent in anticipation of this new CBA. So good luck to Toronto and Portland trying to figure out who they're taking off of teams, because nobody is going to be signed to a contract. It's really just going to be almost like a fantasy redraft of the entire league. So, yeah, I'm not looking forward to that aspect of it. But it's cool that Golden State has been able to kind of have that spotlight this year as the one team. Next year it'll be split a little bit, but I like one at a time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Miles, speaking of expanding in a positive way, the Golden State Valkyries doing an incredible mm-hmm. job this year, not only ingratiating themselves to the community there by the Bay, but also have won 7 of their last 10, 9-7, the record for the expansion team this year, the Valkyries in the W. Not just expansion, but trades yesterday in the W as well. Nelissa Smith, during her first year in Dallas, struggling slightly with the wings, dealt for a first rounder in 2027, and now will head to the Las Vegas Aces. Miles, how do you grade this deal between Dallas and Las Vegas?
So it's an easy A for me from the perspective of the Dallas Wings, because like you said earlier, 2027 could be the Juju Watkins draft. And there is no guarantee right now that anyone is going to be on the Aces in 2027. It's hard to imagine Asia being somewhere else. It's hard to imagine Jackie Young being somewhere else. But the fact of the matter is, they haven't had a first round pick in Vegas since 2022, and now they won't again until 2028. And if you're Asia Wilson and you're looking at your prime, and then you see something like the Golden State Valkyries, for example, where they're pulling in 18,000 fans a night, and they've got a culture building there. Natalie Nicasse had been an assistant with the Aces. I mean, I would take that phone call. So that pick could be really, really big. And then if you look at the other side of it, the grade is a B minus for me on the Aces side, because they did need somebody to play next to Asia in the front court. She's at her best at the 5, and Nelissa slots in at the 4. But like you said, she has not had her most efficient season. I think if there's anyone that could kind of pull that out of her, it is playing alongside someone like Asia, who Nelissa has said is her GOAT. So I think the two of them together is good. But I just don't know what the ceiling is for this Las Vegas team. So trading that future away doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Smith, in her first 3 years in the W with the Indiana Fever, averaged 13 points per game, 8 boards per game. This year, only about 6.7 and 4.9 rebounds per. Let's talk about the Aces, Miles, in the final minute of this segment. You saw the graphic there, 8-8 this year, a team that had won back-to-back WNBA titles in 2022 and 2023, now fluttering around 500. Do you still consider Las Vegas a title contender around the W?
Yeah, I think that they're in the conversation of that second-tier title contender. Right now, even though the Liberty are scuffling down a couple of starters and Jonquel Jones and Leonie Fibish, they're still at the top for me. So are the Minnesota Lynx, who I know we're going to talk about with the Commissioner's Cup tonight. They're 14-2. And I think that the Aces have been leapfrogged at this point by the Dream. And I don't know, Phoenix is really good too. So they've got their work to do.
Plenty more with Miles next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A title on the line tonight in the Twin Cities. It's the Commissioner's Cup Final in the WNBA between the Minnesota Lynx, who won the crown a season ago, beating the New York Liberty in the Indiana Fever. Miles Ehrlich back with us for a second consecutive segment to break down this game and what we will learn tonight about a Minnesota Lynx team who is in the top spot in the WNBA, 14-2, best record overall around the W this season. Miles, as we focus on tonight's Commissioner's Cup title, the Lynx a 6.5-point favorite against the Fever. The over under stands at 164 in a hook. Before we get to the key matchups and the X's and O's, let's start with the status of one of the stars lining up tonight. We hope in Caitlin Clark, who of course has already missed multiple games this year due to injury, now battling a groin injury. As of practice yesterday, she was listed by Indiana as questionable. What are you hearing about Clark's status entering tonight's Commissioner's Cup Final?
So I hate to say I don't have much more information than that. Heard that she went through a partial practice yesterday. For me, it comes down to how important is this game in the grand scheme? How important is any game when you're trying to play into October? And for this being an exhibition in the middle of the season, even though the winning team, every player gets 50,000 and the losing players get 25,000, sure, that matters in terms of financial incentive. If you're Stephanie White, you have to be thinking big picture here. Unless Caitlin's 100% and good to go, I would hold her out personally, but I guess they might have her go through shoot around this morning, see how she feels, because you need all the firepower you can get against the Minnesota Lynx.
Yes, you certainly do. Clark does have props listed on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. Always a strong indication of availability. We'll see what CC's status is for tonight. She's already missed 7 games this year for a player that did not really battle any injuries during her rookie campaign or her collegiate career at Iowa. All right, let's get to the breakdown. The Minnesota Lynx, accustomed Miles to winning a Commissioner's Cup crown as they did last year out on Long Island against the New York Liberty. Now at home, where as you mentioned, it does not impact the regular season record, but Minnesota is perfect 8-0 in Minneapolis so far this season. 6.5-point spread in favor of the Lynx. Where do you start your breakdown for tonight's title game in the Commissioner's Cup?
So I started with the Lynx looking to break the what I will call a very recent Commissioner's Cup curse, where last year they won that title, but then lost the WNBA title. The year before, the Liberty won the Commissioner's Cup title and then lost that WNBA title. So they're trying to break that little trend that's happening. But yeah, the Minnesota Lynx, they are just a wagon. They've picked up where they left last year, and it's all led by Nafisa Collier. Fee is leading the league in scoring. She's just been on this revenge tour since losing Game 5 of the finals last year. And where it's going to come down to me, really, is in points in the paint. I think that we have the top 2 scorers in this game, and Aaliyah Boston's number one ball with the Fever, and then Fee is right behind her at number 2 in points per game in the paint. And we're going to see that matchup. That's the one advantage I would see that Indiana has in this one, is getting the ball down low. But again, that is way more effective when you can run that pick and roll with Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark. And if Caitlin's not out there, are you just kind of spamming pick and roll, or are you just trying to post up deep with Aaliyah? And then that's something else that Minnesota's scramble defense can deal with a lot better. The Lynx are just all over the place going to shoot. They're leading the league in efficiency, offensive rating, now defensive rating as well. So obviously net, they're ahead of everybody else. It's just, there are no holes on this team. And if you're Indiana, you have to play perfect basketball tonight.
14-2 Minnesota, prime for another run to the WNBA Finals that, of course, this year is a best of seven set. Second best record to win the championship, or second best price, I should say, to win the championship behind the New York Liberty, as you see there. The odds-on favorite to win that WNBA MVP hardware, that is Minnesota's Nafisa Collier at minus 240. Miles, final minute of this segment. For some that maybe haven't seen Fee play this year for the Lynx, what will they see tonight? And is the MVP award hers to lose this campaign?
Yeah, they're going to see an incredibly efficient player who has probably, her and Bree Jones for me, have the best footwork in the WNBA. It's just everything is smooth, the fadeaways, the defensive help. She does everything at a plus level. And looking at those MVP odds, Caitlin being second, you mentioned she missed seven games. There's never been anyone to win an MVP award missing more than five games. And that was Jonquel Jones in 2021. Obviously, there were 32 games then, and there are 44 games now. But that math is actually even. Both of those, seven equates to 15%, just like five of 32. So it's working against Caitlin in that sense.
Miles, we appreciate the time. As always, the Early Line returns tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.